Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
But we're in an exciting season, yeah, at Enjoy. We're about to jump into our three-month God First Challenge, which is super cool. Anyone excited about that? Anyone know what's happening? Yeah, it's happening. It's about to happen. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to really speak into some key themes in the life of our church that are all about things that we believe you need to put God first in. Our time, our talent, and our tithe, our finances. And this season really is exciting to me as a pastor because I see what it does in people's lives. You know, it says in Malachi, put me to the test. God's saying, put me to the test and see what I'm going to do. So probably 15 years ago, we started doing this at Enjoy. And each and every year, we see so many people's lives changed. Someone's excited up there. As a result of what God does, when we're like, God, show us what you're going to do. Show us what you're going to do when we put principles that are basic and simple, but life-changing to practice. Can I get an amen? So I want to encourage you in this God First season, do it. Because take up the challenge, step out and let God do what he's going to do. And I really believe we're going to see amazing stuff. We see changes in people's health, in people's finance, in their marriages, in visas, in mortgages, in all sorts of things because God does what he says he's going to do. It's not just a book that doesn't do anything. It's a book of facts and promises from God. So this week I want to look at the whole God first mindset and thought from the reality of time. Putting God first in our time. Is that okay? Are we good with that? Are you going to make some noise and make me feel like I'm at home? There we go. That's what I'm talking about. Because the reality is when it comes to time, there's a lot of ways and strategies and concepts that are out there as far as time management and how you can do it and all these different books that you tick one side and write a list on the other side and it's supposed to make you better with your time. You can wake up early in the morning like all the top 10 CEOs. You know this stuff? You see it pop up everywhere. You can be up at 4 a.m. for a workout with Jocko and the Navy SEALs. My favorite is like Kramer from Seinfeld, who's the ultimate, yeah? You can sleep 20 minutes every 3 hours throughout the day and not in the night because it's more productive. Anyone seen that episode? It's awesome. You got to watch it. If you watch it, it's like Bible research. So you can remember at high school when like you could watch something as part of study, but it totally wasn't. You're like, this is awesome. Favorite subject ever. I'm picking that subject. But these are all potential things that might help. But when it comes to godly, strategic, life building, generational, and eternally significant time management, I want to talk to you about that. Just a small concept, you know what I mean? Nothing too heavy for today. But the reality is when it comes to time, we've all got the same amount. We've all got 24 hours. Anyone get more than 24 hours, let me know. Like you can do some stuff for me. You can do my dishes, you know. Anyone, we've got 365 days a year. We've got 7 days a week. We've got 12 months a year. No matter who we are, we've got the same amount of time. The question is, how do you spend that time? You know, you can look at life as a pie chart. You know, maybe you got to think about how am I cutting up my time? We've all got the pie, but how do we cut up the pieces? This is not the perfect example. It's just something I found on Google, by the way. You know what I mean? We've got that pie chart. You can look at life like that. Like, what are the things that are taking up the pieces of my life? You can look at life like a timeline from start to end. Like, what are the things that take up time? What's the stuff? You know, I was saying in the first service, earlier last week, I filled out a survey, and it's the first time ever I had to tick the, like, over 40s box. I'm like, what the heck, man? I'm hanging out with Mick on the right hand of the table instead of down with the 25s with Nicole. But the reality is, like, you got the amount of years you've got, we've all got the same amount. How do you do it? What are you going to do with it? What's the strategic stuff you can put in your life you can do? And I reckon I've learned one thing in my 41 years on this earth, and that is you can do a lot of things average or you can do a few things excellent. And I found for me, I much prefer going to bed at night knowing I've done a few things excellent than I've tried to do a whole bunch of stuff real average and not actually got anywhere with it. And it's kind of that concept I want to talk to you about. There's a famous saying that says, bang for your buck. We've probably all heard this. And I looked it up and it's from back in like the carnival days where bang meant excitement and buck meant your money. So it's like, how much value? What's the best ride you can go on with the money your mum gave you at the carnival on a Saturday afternoon? Like, that's literally what that statement's all about. But these days we still use it, and it doesn't quite mean that. It's not just money. Bang for buck means the most value for your efforts. the best Airbnb you can get for your budget, yeah? The most extras you can get in the new car, the most value and most relevant for today's message, the greatest use of our time. What's the bang for your buck you can get as far as use of our time, the most efficient and effective way to spend our time? You know, as Christians, if we're talking about putting God first, about strategic life-building time management as God wants it, we got to ask the question, what's the best bang for my buck? We got to ask the question, what's the best way that I can do this, the most effective thing I can do? I don't want to finish my life and waste a whole bunch of time. Like, you know, when you want to watch something new on Netflix and you start flicking through all the previews and then you realize I could have watched a whole show if I just chose one at the start. Is it just me? Huh? Only me. You guys give me nothing today. You're making me feel whatever, you know. But I want to use my time efficiently. I want to use my time effectively. I want at the end of my time, well done, good and faithful servant. Not what were you doing down there? I don't want that. We can look at it from another perspective. And I was thinking of my beautiful little six-year-old girl, Harper. And there was a season in her life where she is. She's so cool. Now, the reason she's got the handbag is because she worked out as a youngster, she still is a youngster, that there's only so much things or so many things you can hold in your hand, yeah? She's trying to carry a bag of lollies, her glasses, her handbag, a rock, like, you know, just all the random things that, you know what I'm saying, kids are, and if she's not careful trying to carry too much, she drops all of it. And I don't want to do that with my life. I don't want to be trying to fit too many things in my handful because a handful is a handful. A handful can only carry what a hand can carry. And I think in our lives, we can try and jam too many things in the pie chart. We can try and squeeze too many things on the timeline. We can try and carry a bunch of stuff and we're running around. We're not effective. We can't do what we're supposed to do. We're dropping stuff everywhere. Are you with me, church? Super practical today. Super practical. I don't want to drop the lot when it comes to my life. I don't want the things to be falling out of my hands when it comes to my life. I want to grab the important stuff and I want to run with it and do what God has asked me to do. So what's the most important things in your world? We've got to ask ourselves these questions. I know very clearly for me, it's my God, it's my family, it's my church, it's health and fitness. It's not quite translating yet, but leave that one there. It's music. I'm a musician. I love doing music. And it's reading. And if I'm honest, if it's anything not on that list, then it's kind of wasting my time. Sounds really harsh, but also I know God has called me to significance. God has called all of us to significance in our own way. And if I'm spending time on things that aren't those things, it's like I'm wasting time. I'm not honoring God with my time. I got to know what He needs me to do, and I got to sink my time into that. And do I do it perfect? Definitely not. Do I waste too much time scrolling through YouTube? 110%. But I try my best with all of my ability to be fruitful and responsible with my time and honor my God with my 24 hours, with my 7 days a week. Can I get an amen? Whatever it is, you got to think about this stuff. What are the things that we want to carry in life? What's our handful? What are we squeezing into our pie chart? How are we cutting up the pie chart of our life? How are we scheduling things on the timeline of our lives? You know, maybe you've never seen it like this before. As I said, this was a message from Melton, super practical. So many people new to Enjoy have never heard this the way we think at Enjoy Church. Maybe you're the same here today. You may not think like this, but it's so important that you get strategic, that you reflect on your life. You think about, what am I achieving? What do I want to achieve? What do I want to build? What has God called me to do? So important. You know, in the year of legacy, what is the legacy that I want to leave? A legacy doesn't just appear when you're 70 years old. A legacy is built on the things you carry as a handful, on the things that you take through life and God can build, and day after day, week after week, year after year, month, whatever it might be. We've got to be so aware of this stuff, so aware of the things that are in our handful. And if we're talking godly, strategic, life-changing time management, I reckon I've got the first three things. The first three things that we've all got to carry in our hand. The rest is up to us. The other stuff we add and how much, that's your call. But I really believe that I've got the first three things, and I actually believe the first three things in order. You guys want to hear what they are today? So we're going to preach about. Very simple. God, family, and church. God, family, and church. And before I get into the points, I want to just throw out a few disclaimers and things for you to think of as I'm going through, because I don't want to have to be jumping around. But your relationship with God is number one. Number one. The thing you got to understand is that your relationship with God is not going to church. It's not the same thing. Your relationship with God is not hanging out with people from church. It's not the same thing. Your relationship with God is you and God, you and your Bible, you and prayer, you and worship, you and a podcast, you and God, and that is it. Whatever it looks like specifically for you, that's what I'm talking about when I say your relationship with God. And it's got to be number one. It's got to be number one. Our second thing is family. And when I say family, I mean healthy family. Because sometimes family can be super unhealthy and boundaries need to be put in place. This is a bit of a touchy one, but just hear my heart in it, you know what I mean? Unhealthy, ungodly family is not number two on your priority list because it pulls you in all the wrong ways, in all the wrong directions. Healthy family is number two on our list. Healthy family that understands the things of God, understands the calling that God has put upon our lives. Because only then, when you put that kind of family number two, does number three make sense to be at number three, and that is, of course, church. It's so important that you don't hear this as church isn't important, because church is very, 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 very important. It's such an important thing in our world as believers. But when you put God as number one, and you do that well, and you do that healthy, you'll understand how church can be number three and it's still fruitful. When you do God well, you can put family number two and you do that healthy and there's still plenty of time to do everything. Like when we're putting things in divine order, when we're doing it the way it should be, God will allow it to all come together. You hear what I'm saying, church? Is this cool? Actually, church is number three, but that doesn't mean it's every third Sunday. I'll just leave that one right there for someone, all right? Leave that one right there. It's for someone. It's for someone. Be blessed, be fruitful, and multiply your Sunday attendance. It's good. You like that? That was a good joke. That's why Melton can't listen. I've got to write that one down and put it out the next week. But also in all this, there's juggle and balance, right? There's seasons of life. There's times of the day. There's days of the week. I wouldn't advise you to put God first and don't go to work, because from 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, you'll get fired and then you won't have a house to live in because you won't be able to pay. Like, you know what I mean? It all works together. You got to figure this out. Family is number two and church is number three. But at the same time, a family that doesn't get the things of God will keep trying to schedule things at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Really, you kind of got to flip those things over, and family can wait till 10:30. They're still asleep anyway. It's all right. Come to the first service. Ooh, I touched the button there. It's like people are feeling it. I'm like, come on, man. That's all right. They'll be okay. Tell them to get a coffee. You'll meet them like half an hour later. You know what I'm saying? Are we good? We good with that? We got those pieces together. So God, family, church. So the first is obviously God. He is number one. God did a little thing called creating the world. Anyone heard about this? Like, he put breath in your lungs. He knit you together in your mother's womb, as it says in the Psalms. He created you for a purpose, as it says in Romans 8:28. You are called for a purpose, church. Are you with me? There is significance upon your life. You're not just wandering through life doing whatever. He's got something for you. He wants to do something with you. He's significant. He's specifically for you. He's omniscient. He knows everything and he gave you his mobile number. It's called prayer. Make a phone call every so often, you know what I mean? He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. He gave you like a roadmap for life. It's called the Bible. Just open it up every so often, yeah? He's omnibenevolent, which means he is all loving. And you know what he did for that? He created this thing right here, the church. Your beautiful pastors, your leaders, your church community. Like, let them love you. Let them be a part of the family. Are you with me, church? It's so cool. God is the author and finisher of our faith in Hebrews. He's what it's all about as Christians. Relationship with God should be everything. It should be our number one. We've got to cultivate it. We've got to grow it. We've got to make it healthy and alive. You know, I was helping a friend a few weeks ago. They were like, I'm in a bit of a dry patch when it comes to God stuff in my life. And I said what I always say, but it's really the only answer. I'm like, all you got to do is just do the basic stuff. Like, just read your Bible. One verse. I used to say in youth ministry days, just read the index. I don't even care. Just open the book. Like, just do something. But it's true for adults as well. Just do something. Chuck on a podcast. Listen to worship music, have a coffee with a great godly mate, whatever it might be. And in all that stuff, just make it work for you. What I do to make sure it's super simple, because I'm a simple guy, it needs to be simple. On my way to work, I listen to a preaching or a theology podcast. On my way home for work, I listen to the UFC or the NBA. You know what I mean? Like, it's a great fight on today. Can't wait to get home. It's going to be awesome. No one tell me results, because it's probably already happened. But You know, make it work for you, whatever's practical. If you're a little bit OCD like myself, if you sign up to the one-year Bible, you know what you get to do every day? Tick a box. Feels awesome. It's like, yes. I'm about to go to bed. I'm like, oh, I've got to tick that box, man. I wake up and read my Bible. Tick. Yeah, got it done. It's beautiful. But whatever works for you, put God first. Put God first. And maybe not with the first minute of your day. I preached this last year in Melton. But with the true and honest first in your heart. Put God first with the first in your heart. Put God first with your time. And then number two, God's number one. Number two is family. The reality is the idea of family is God's. It's godly. He created it. He made man, he made woman, and then he created a fun thing and said, be fruitful and multiply and make kids. And I'll leave that one right there for you. You know, do the thing you do, you know, build family. He created family to love and care. It's like the church. He created for a place to belong. You know, it says in the word that where does he put the lonely? He puts them in family. People who are lonely, he puts them in family because that's what he created it for. You know, where does he set the lonely? In family. When Christianity was spread from the Jews to the Gentiles, which is super relevant for us because most of us are Gentiles, I'd imagine, in Acts, he did it with a guy called Cornelius. But the reality is he went to Cornelius's house. And when they became Christians, it wasn't just Cornelius, it was his whole family. Why did he do that? Because family is important to God. When we look at the covenant with Abraham, it was about his family. It was about the generations and the tribes that would flow from that. That's why it says the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It says it because they know it's family. Family, generations is important to God because God created family. We got to prioritize God, but we got to prioritize family. In our heart, it's got to matter. Our time with family has got to be important. And again, my disclaimer, healthy stuff, boundaries where you need to. Speak to Pastor Mick and the pastoral care team if you need help with that. Church, quality, strategic family time. But you know what? It flows from your time with God. Flows, how do I do family right? How do I do family time right? Well, how do you do your time with God? What does your time with God look like? How does it feel, your time with God? How does he make you feel? What's kind of going on in those moments? How does he treat you? How do you treat him? And then simply just do family that way. Love. Be caring. Be patient. Your best efforts. Pay attention. Be present. Conversation, not arguments. I like this when I wrote it. And arguments, not fights. You know, we can slide down the scale. But just make family feel the way that your relationship with God feels. Be present when you're with family. Be in the room. Cultivate an actual atmosphere of love and peace in your family, in your house. Cultivate means you got to go to work. Doesn't mean it just pops up by itself. It's like life is hectic. Life is busy. Stuff happens, bad things, good things, everything in between. But you know what you can still have underlying all of that in your house is peace. Are you with me? Peace when you do things the way it's supposed to be. Church, put God first with your family. So God, healthy family. And then it leads to number three, which is healthy church. Church is so important to God. Church is so important to God. Don't read this as number three on the list and it's not important. It is super important. But when we do things right, when we base things off our relationship with God, it all fits together and it's all good. Church is his hands and feet on this earth. It's the most effective tool God has to actually reach out and touch people. You know, Pastor Dan's in the skate park. It's because he's a church. God could be there, but the tricks would be too intense to be doing. The kids would be freaking out. So got Pastor Dan on a bike instead, you know. But church is also human. So it's imperfect, but it's also beautiful. It's so beautiful. You know, and I can only speak for Enjoy Church and particularly Enjoy Melton, but we're the same church. But what we do and how can you not love our church the way it is? You know, we love. We love first. We don't jump to conclusions about stuff. Something Pastor Shane teaches, like love first. Don't jump to conclusions. Hear both sides of the story. Give them, just believe in people. You know, everyone is welcome in Enjoy Church. We care for people that Enjoy Church. We genuinely care about everyone. Your friendship group leaders, your department leaders, your pastors, each other. We genuinely care for each other. We believe in you. We cheer you on. We believe in your family. We want to see good things. We're praying for your kids to come home. Like, oh, we're doing all this stuff. If there's issues, we'll have a conversation because we don't gossip. It's the way we roll it in Joy Church. You know the funny thing, Pastor Mick would know this story. We had location pastors that would say that, and then new people to locations would freak out thinking like, they're like, if you gossip, someone's gonna come and knock on your door. And they're like, So come knock on the door. It's like, man, it's like a joke. Relax, you know what I mean? But what we're saying is, like, we want to have a conversation. We talk about stuff. Why? We don't gossip about enjoy because we build up. We don't tear down. We love first and we care. That's how we roll. It's our heart. Can I get an amen? You know, and at the same time, we're not perfect. If we mess up, we're going to apologize. If you hang around Melton for more than 15 seconds, you'll see me stuff something up, but you'll also hear me apologize pretty quickly afterwards. You think I'm bad? You should see Pastor Mick and Ronnie. They're like, they're messing up all the time. They're terrible people. But anyway, only joking. At Enjoy Church, we daily pray for an anointing for growth. We daily pray for God to send us the people to enable us to do what he's called us to do. We pray for wisdom to lead our church. We pray for salvation. Can I get an amen? We pray for healing. We pray for the needs we met in people's lives. It's what we do. We meet the needs of our people. And in Melton specifically, and again, it's the same stuff happening all across locations. We practically meet the needs as best we can. Had a young guy break his knee playing soccer. He was 10 years old. And I was sick at home. And before I knew it, we had our creative guy, because this guy's 10 and he runs lights at church. It's ridiculous. Sometimes we have a 10-year-old on lights and a 12-year-old on all the words and everything. It's so good. But this is happening, and then like within 15 minutes I get another photo and our kids' church leader, Mulata, is over there dropping off a meal. I'm like, this is the way Enjoy Church rolls. We care for people. When something's going on, we connect in. We want to be there. We pray for people in nursing homes. I went to a nursing home last month and prayed for someone that kind of had come to church, and the family wanted me to pray the last rites. I'm like, I don't even know what the last rites are. I have to like Google it. I'm like, I'm not praying they're going to die. I'll pray that good stuff happens and speak over their family and salvation to their family. And you know the awesome thing, then the daughter was there and I'm like, can I pray for you? And she's like, oh, I've never had one of these done before. I'm like, it's all right, man. It's all right. So I just prayed for her. But who knows where that's going to lead? But that's what we do at Enjoy Church. We send flowers and run funerals. We do pre-marriage courses and do weddings. We have Empire Youth that you should send your youth along to. Their lives will be changed. We prepare meals for people that are sick. In fact, coincidentally, this week I was chatting to a lady at Enjoy Melton, and she had decided in her heart that she was just going to come and go. She'd come to church every couple of weeks and then she'd be out the door and wouldn't hang around, didn't want to get to know anyone. She was in hospital, had an operation, Mulata again, went and dropped her off some meals and hung out with her. And this lady with tears in her eyes, just this Thursday, was telling me, she goes, that happened. And I said to myself, I go, I'm going to be a part of this place. I'm not going to come to church and leave and not want to make friends. So now she's serving on team. She's in a friendship group. She volunteers a day a week in the office. Like, this stuff's happening all across Enjoy. There'd be stories all across West and city and everywhere. Like, it's what we do. We care. We do our best to meet the needs. Do us a favor and join a friendship group. That's how we know what's going on in your world. Sign up at the Hub. It's awesome. We're not perfect, but we aim for excellence in all we do. That's Enjoy Church. That's my church. That's our church. That's who you are. It's awesome. Put God first in your time if the creative team comes. When it comes to church, be here every week. If you're into bodybuilding like Ronnie is, there's this saying, it says, don't skip leg day. I think we've got a photo of Ronnie right here. Where is it? There we go. That's why you never see him in shorts. But if you skip leg day, right, you're going to look awesome on Instagram when you got your biceps out. But this is where it gets real for a minute. When you need to go on a hike or a run, or you need to do some heavy lifting, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You know, I want to borrow from that because it's actually very similar and say, don't skip church day. Because reality is you're going to end up just as unbalanced. If you ever think about not staying home on a Sunday morning, just remember Ronnie and you'll be sweet. Sorry, man. Because the reality is you might have more time on a Sunday to mow your lawn and do your online shopping or whatever you're doing on a Sunday morning because you've made time because you're not at church. But then when life happens, when you need to go on a hike or a life journey, or you need to do some heavy life lifting, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in trouble. So put God first with your church. And how do we do that? Abide, belong, contribute. You know all about that stuff. I don't want to go into it for the sake of time. You know, put God first with your church by praying for Pastor Shane and Georgie, for Pastor Christian and Lisa and for the team and all your leaders, and pray for them. I say that in Melton. Pray for me and Kev. Pray for our families like you should, because I pray for Pastor Shane and Georgie and his family. It's what we do. Put God first by leaning into community things. lean in and meet people in the foyer. Include people. Pastor Shane once spoke about we're not just welcoming, we want to be inclusive. We don't just be like, hey, how you going? And then walk off. We want to be, hey, come for lunch. Let me buy you a coffee. Come into my conversation, not just, hey, great to have you at church. That's who we are at Enjoy Church. We don't want to just be friendly. We want to be inclusive because you matter, because we care for people. We should, everyone in this room, lean in financially with our tithes and our offerings. And you heard about that from Dave Balestri last week. Lean in and serve on team. Join a friendship group. You know, if you're thinking about church, just remember that the church is God's bride. It's as simple as that. You know, I might tease Ronnie, but I'm never going to tease Nutty. Why is that? Because I love Ronnie, and that's his bride. You know, what do I do to Nutty? I honour her. I love her. I care for her. I'm super careful with her. You know, we should think the same way about church. Like, it's God's bride. Love it. Care for it. Honour it. Be careful about it. You know, for some of us, I really believe that this God first month potentially is the first time maybe we've looked at stuff this practically. Maybe not, but most likely for a lot of us. I know in Melton, lots of people are going to be like, whoa. You know, we've never thought about these concepts of putting God first with our time, with our talent, with our tithe. I want to encourage you, let it challenge your thinking. Let your thinking be challenged. Let it change your life where it needs to. The reality is there's not much that I'll guarantee in this lifetime. But one thing I'll definitely guarantee is if you put God first in this next season, I 100% guarantee at the end of this 3 months, your life is going to be very, very different in the most amazing and positive ways. Like it will be, I guarantee it. You're like, how can you say that? Well, because I've seen it so much. Pastor Michelle, how much have we seen, yeah? Jillian, we've seen it so much. We sit with people, we talk to people over the 15 years we've been doing this. I reckon it'd be up to thousands of people that are like, you never believe what happens. Like, yes, I do. I believe it because I was expecting it. It's just stuff changing because I've seen it in my life. Stuff has turned around in the most amazing ways where just this week stuff happened. I'm like, what the heck, God, you're awesome. Thank you. But it's the way it's supposed to be. God first, it's challenging and it pushes buttons, but it's a healthy challenge. And I believe it's the buttons that need to be pushed. Just let them be pushed. Let God speak to you through it. You know, over these next few months, I probably won't be back here, maybe, maybe not, but I'll be praying for you from afar, as I always do. But even more than usual, I'll be praying because I want God to speak to you clearly, for His Holy Spirit to convict you in a good way and direct you to where you need to go, for you to step one step closer to everything that God has got for you. For you to step towards the significance, step towards the calling that He's put on your life, because you are called to significance, as I read before. You got to understand it. And like, God, I'm up for you changing what you need to change, and I'm going to put you first in this season.